Buddha God is kind and full of grace, both righteous and compassionate is He. The Lord protects all those of childlike faith. When I was in great need, He rescued me. Rest, O my soul, God has been good to you. For you, O Lord, have saved my soul from death, my feet from stumbling, and my eyes from tears, that I may live for you while I have breath. How can I thank the Lord for all He's done? With gratitude, salvation's cup I'll raise. Name and will fulfill my vows to Him before His faithful face.
Thank you, madam. Anybody like a copy of God's Word this afternoon? It's offered to you quite freely. Yours for the taking. It's the Word of God, when all said and done, the Word of your Creator. And of course, it has the ability, well, that nothing else does, and that is to bring you to a knowledge of God's salvation. Yes, madam. Thank you, madam. Thank you very much. I'm here most Mondays. Will you want to pray for me now? Oh, please, please do. Thank you.
Father God, we just praise you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that there is godly men that's willing to step out and speak your word, because, Lord, this is the end times. Mm-hmm. We pray a hedge of protection around him as he speaks your word, that he won't be mocked, that your word will be penetrated into the ears of those that are searching for you. And I praise you for this wonderful man, this godly man that's had the courage to step out in his faith. And I thank you for him, Lord. It's music to my ears as I come down and see such a step of faith. Protect him, Lord. Bless him abundantly in the name of Jesus.
Amen. 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 Thank you very much, madam. God bless you.
It's Mary.
Mary, have a good day. I'm Jimmy. So like I say, friends, it's God's Word, you know, and it has the ability that nothing else does, and that is to make a body wise unto salvation, which is found, of course, through faith in Jesus Christ, whom I declare to you here today in Nottingham City Centre. I've already had an encounter with two people. One man asked me a question about the book of Leviticus, but he kept talking as I tried to answer him, so, you know, I couldn't get the answer into him. You know, please do ask questions by all means. Don't know everything. Would like to try and answer your question if I can, but as you keep talking, well, you know, there's no profit in that. You got to listen in order to hear, to learn. And then another lady, she told me that she asked me the question about evolution, why I was so against it. And I said, because it's not a theory, it's a downright lie. And at that, of course, she stormed off, she kicked off, saying to all the sundry around her that I ought to be locked up. We ought to be locked up. Whereupon the policeman went straight to her, asking her what I had said, looking, no doubt, for a bust. But he didn't get one. But of course, it's only intelligent people that they lock up these days. The lunatics, they're outside the asylum. It's the good people who are inside. This is the DNA, this is the generation in which we live, and this is the consequence, of course, of the apostasy, dereliction from God. That's why we're in this state. We call good evil, and we call evil good. That's a consequence of apostasy from God. Anyway, long story short, Word of God is offered to you, New Testament in its entirety, offered to you freely. You would like one, do feel free to come and ask for one. I would gladly place one into your hand. Got a question for you this afternoon, Nottingham, and it's this. It is a good question, I think, and I'm going to try and answer it for you. It's a rhetorical question. That means you don't have to answer. It means I answer it for you. Are all transgressions, and transgression, of course, is that which is contrary to the law, you know, the law of God, that is, sin, in other words. Are all sins, all transgressions of the law of God, that's summed up in his Ten Commandments, are all transgressions of the law of God equally heinous? The word heinous means, you know, bad. Are they all that bad, really bad?
Where have you been? You've not been
here
for a few months.
No, I have, sir. I was away April, I was away for 2 weeks.
Can I ask something?
Yeah, of course
you can. Could you stay away?
No, sir.
Because this shit annoys the fuck out of me.
I'm sorry, sir.
That's bullshit.
I really am.
You're a nuisance.
Really?
You just pipe down.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir, but I can't stay away. I'm compelled, you know. The love of God constrains me, sir. Oh, there we go, eh? Oh, boy, Nottingham, you got the backup today, eh? Oh, wow. Anyway, what was I saying? Yes, are all transgressions of the law of God equally heinous, equally bad? You know, are some sins worse than others? What does the Bible say about that? Well, I intend, by God's grace, to answer that question for you. If any, I had a verse here, it's gone. If you know something to be sin, you know, of course it's worse, isn't it? You know, if you've got knowledge, you know, that makes you more responsible, doesn't it? You know, if you've got knowledge, if you know something is sin, is contrary to God, a transgression of God's law, and you carry on and do it, well then, that makes it worse, doesn't it? You know, because you know. You've got knowledge. Of course, you've got knowledge of right and wrong because, well, you've got a conscience, you know. See, your conscience, I've had all kinds up against me this morning, and I've only just started a couple of minutes ago. But, you know, friends, your conscience bears testimony with me here this afternoon, you know. Your conscience that tells you whether something is right or wrong, you know, and there's witness testimony. It's God's sheriff, you know, it's God's agent, FBI agent, if you like, you know, that comes and busts you, you know, if you're wrong, if you're contrary to God's law. So there's that, like, you know. But here's the thing, the answer to the question, are all transgressions of the law of God equally heinous, equally bad? Well, it depends, you know. It depends on the persons from which they're coming. You know, those of a riper age, you know, the old. We used to have that saying, I'm sure you've heard it before, you know, there's no fool like an old fool. We expect people to grow in wisdom, don't we? You know? And when you see an older person behaving unseemly in a way that you ought not to do, contrary to God's law, well, you think to yourself, don't you? Well, you know, somebody that age, they ought to learn better by now, you know? But to see an older person who's never learned the way of God, you know, still behaving like he did in his youth, you know, carrying on, doing that which is contrary to the law of God. Well, that's worse. That's worse than a youth, you know, because I'm not not saying that youth, I'm not saying that young people are excusable, but what I am saying is, you know, the foolishness of youth, we kind of expect it from young people, don't we? You know, we expect them to behave stupid ways, you know, because, well, you know, they've got some learning to do. But, you know, a person of ripe age, an elderly person, well, you'd expect them to have learned better, you know, by now. So, you see, are all sins equal, you know, are some worse than others? Yes, they are. You know, those of a riper age, those that should know better, those that should have grown in wisdom, those that, should be ready, you know, for that day when they're going to breathe their last and go to this world. And then, of course, there are some with a greater experience, you know, of the world and even of God's grace, you know. They've maybe heard the gospel countless times, you know. Experienced, the preaching of the gospel, the word of God's grace, His kindness, His compassion towards lost sinners. Oh, they've heard it over and over again. It might not have been in a church. Might have been, you know, like out here in the street. You know, it could have been anywhere. But the more experience you got, you see, of hearing the message of God's grace, that makes you more accountable. That makes you more responsible. And that day when God judges you, He will remind you. You know, that there will be those who will bear testimony. Even these buildings around you here, today in Nottingham City Centre, will testify on that day that you heard the gospel even today. And so you see, you will be accounted, you will be judged. Your crimes, your sins, your transgressions of God's law will be counted worse than that of others, more heinous. Then, of course, those with eminent gifts, you know, those who have been gifted by God and have used those gifts. Yes, sir.
I respect you. Can I
say? You do? Okay, thank you, sir. Those who have been given eminent gifts by God, you know. You can think of people like maybe Mr. Dawkins, Mr. Darwin, university professors, and all kinds of people. You know, you wonder at the gifts that God has given them. You know, they can send rockets to the moon, and, you know, they invent all kinds of medicines to help us. They are supremely gifted. But they don't use those gifts for God's glory. They don't use those gifts, you see, to promote the glory of God. They use those gifts, you see, for themselves, for their own glory, you know, and that kind of thing. And so their sins, you see, they will be counted worse, more heinous than that of others. And then, of course, those who are given place, given office, you know, maybe you're a president or a prime minister, member of parliament in the government, maybe coming down the echelons, you know, police officers, you know, or maybe school teachers, primary, secondary, it doesn't matter. They've been given office, they've been given a place of authority over others, but they haven't used it for God's glory to promote the gospel. In fact, to the contrary, they have so sinned that they have made other many others to sin because of their behavior, because of their thinking, because of their words, and because of their actions. They have caused many multitudes of others to go astray. Think of somebody like Charlie Darwin. I mean, well, I suppose he had some measure of gift. But, you know, he flunked his university course in Edinburgh. He couldn't hack it, and so he went on a world cruise, and he dreamed up this hoax, this lie of evolution. And as a result of it, he's used what God gave him to spread this lie, this hoax, this malicious judged to be much more highness than yours or mine. And then of course, brothers, those, who should be given an example to others, you know? Again, school teachers, and of course parents too. Everybody in responsibility over others, What does your example teach your children, your grandchildren? What does your example, maybe as a school teacher, as a police officer, as a member of the council in Nottingham, or maybe a member of the government? What did your behavior, your example, both in thought and word and deed, what example are you setting for others? Well, God, you see, God will count those sins much more highness than that of others. And God, of course, as a result of this, will bring you to judgment. Will bring men and women, you see, in that day, that will be judged according to what God has given them, the gifts, the place in society, the office that they held, the responsibility that they had over, whether it be few or whether it be many. In that day, God will hold them to account. And God will judge them according to that, you see. So it's very important that you understand that some sins are. And if you've got responsibility in society over other people, young or old, it matters not. You need to take heed. Your sins are heinous before God. And you need to repent. You need to believe the gospel. You need saving. You need your sins taken away. You need to be delivered from the wrath to come, the judgment of God that's coming upon your heinous sins. I say this to you. Why? Not because I love you. I say it to you because I love your soul, because I don't want you to come under the judge's hammer, because I don't want you to be lost, because I don't want you to spend eternity in hell, because I want you to be saved. I want you to know the love of God. I want you to know the compassion and the mercy and the forgiveness of God. You see, the law was given to us. The law was given to us that we might know what transgression is, what sin is. And that with the knowledge of your sin that you might take it to Jesus and that you might be forgiven. Because the law of God was not given to you in order to save you, to make you right with God. You cannot be right with God by keeping the law of God. The law of God is given to point you to the reality of your sin and to point you to Jesus Christ, the only one who can take away your sin, the one who died on a cross some 2,000 years ago to take away the sins of the world, and maybe take yours away if you should not turn, if you should not repent and believe the gospel. He would indeed take your sins away. So are all transgressions of the law of God equally heinous, equally bad? Well, it depends too, from the persons who have been offended, has it been against God? I mean, he's the ultimate authority. I mean, he's the judge. You can sin against me, but that would be no big deal. You could get hold of a police officer and you could, you could punch him maybe. I don't recommend it, but, you could do that and you would be hauled into court and you would probably go to jail. But then in the courtroom, if you got up in the courtroom and punched the judge, well, that'd be even worse, Or maybe perhaps if you had the opportunity to be in the presence of the Queen of England and you punched her in the face, well, you'd be locked up in the Tower of London. That'd be even worse. You see how it goes up, The authority goes up, and the punishment gets greater. Well, you sin against God. You sin against God, it gets worse. Yeah, you can offend me, you can do your will to me, but nobody will bat an eyelid, you'll probably even get applause for it, But you sin against God, well, that's something else. You're in serious trouble. And of course, here's the problem, that you have sinned against God. You're a sinner before you were born. You see, we and our children were conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath. See, you're a sinner before you were born, before you thought your first thought, before you spoke your first word, before you did your first thing. You were a sinner. But of course, you are a sinner by practice, sinner by nature, and sinner by practice. And that's why you see, as Jesus says, you've got to be born again. You see, the nature has to be changed. The nature that loves sin, the nature that revels in sin, the nature that defies God, defies the law of God, that nature has to be changed supernaturally, miraculously, by the power of the gospel, by the power of God. What do you want, sir?
Sorry. Yeah. Hi. How are you doing here?
I beg pardon.
Sorry? What are you doing here?
What am I doing here? What do you think I'm doing? I have a guess.
I have a guess?
Yes.
Huh. Okay. Do you love God? Yes, you do. All right. You're loving God, yeah?
Okay. Have a good day, sir. Yeah. Well, we get them all. The long, the short, and the tall. Yeah, as we're saying, against God, you see, it's in our nature. It's in our nature conceived and born in sin, we and our children, and therefore children of wrath, you see. So the nature has to be changed in order for the practice to be changed. Yeah? But take my word for it, or rather take God's word for it, take the Bible for it, friends. God says that you have sinned, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you have sinned against God. You sinned against the highest authority. You sinned against the judge. You sinned against the King of Kings. And so you're in serious trouble. You need His forgiveness. You need His pardon. That's only granted to those who believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. But then, of course, it comes down the ladder. You sin against His servants, you know. God sends His servants out into all the world. He's commanded them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel. And we come to you as God's servants, His ministers, well, to do you good, to preach the gospel, to tell you the good news, you know, and to, well, you don't know, that you might be saved, that you might come to know the love of God, experience the love of God, taste the love of God, the goodness of God. But you get so angry, you get so wound up, you get so twisted and corrupt, you know, in your minds when you hear the preaching of the gospel, that some of you, maybe not somebody here this afternoon, I don't know, but maybe, who knows, maybe even you've not only verbally abused the servants of God, but you physically, violently abused the servants of God. So for that, God will hold you to account. In that day, I sent my servant to you to tell you about my love, my forgiveness, and what did you do? You violated him. God will bring you to judgment for such. And of course, against your superiors. You know, God has placed authority in society. That's why He gives us government, Romans chapter 13. And the government, you see, whatever you might think of it, good or bad, is put there by God. In Russia and China and America, and here, of course, in the United Kingdom too. The government's of God, you see, it's God's authority, you know, to punish evildoers. But, of course, too often is the case that, well, they don't do that, you know. They let the evildoers escape and they punish the good. That's often the way it is, but, you know, the governments of God, they're superior to you, you know. And then down through the echelons of government in your society, you know, there are different degrees of superiors. You got parents, you know. And of course, the parent, you know, the parent commandment, you know, honor the father and mother. You see, if you don't learn as a child, if you don't learn, you know, to obey the authority of your parents, well, I doubt whether you'll submit to the authorities, you know, that come later on. The police, the courts, the government, and so on. transgressions of God's law are more heinous than others. When you sin against God, against His servants, against your superiors, and against, of course, the children of God, the church of God, the doubtless, you know, since the last 2,000 years or more, God's people have been persecuted throughout the world and still are today in many countries, even here in the United Kingdom. It's taking place, not quite so serious as perhaps in the middle of the Far East, but it happens. It happens. You see, the world comes against God's people, and God's not too happy with it. God will bring you to judgment for such. He will bring the world to judgment for such. And of course, against the souls of men. You know, men and women who need saving, men and women who, you know, you hinder them maybe from, you know, from that. Well, you know, from doing good, you know, and you promote those who do evil. Well, friends, all these and much, much more, I'm just giving you a taste of it, you see, but some sins are worse than others, believe me. Degrees of punishment there are. God is not all love, believe me. You know, I get it again and again, you know, from people here in Nottingham and elsewhere. Isn't God all loving? No, He's not. No, He's a God of wrath. He's a God of justice. He's a God of righteousness and holiness. Not just love. He loves His own people. He loves those whom He has chosen from before the foundation of the world. And He assures us that they will be saved. He will save them. He loves His own people, but friends, He does not love evildoers. He doesn't love those who take the lives of others. He does not love lawbreakers. How are you to wish to come to a knowledge of the love of God? But you must needs first repent. You must needs turn from your sin and believe on the Son of God sent into the world in order that men and women might know, might experience the love of God. But friends, please do not be deluded by this thinking that seems to be so abundant among so many of you in these days, that God is all loving, that He's some kind of a white-bearded gentleman who sits on the edge of a cloud just waiting to ooze out love and forgiveness just as it suits you. No, friends, this is much more serious than that. The love of God is intelligent, comprehensible. The love of God is given to those, and those only who repent, who turn from their sin with a seriousness, with a solemnity, with a gravity, aware that they are worthy of eternal damnation, aware that they are worthy of eternal hell, eternal burnings even. God will judge the wicked. He will bring you to judgment for your heinous crimes. Some, of course, worse than others. But of course, ultimately, it is against God that you do sin, not against your fellow man. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Not only do you do it against God, you do it in the sight of God. He sees it. He sees it all. He hears your words. He knows your thoughts before you think them. He sees you in the darkness. He sees it all. And where the Bible poses the question, would you go to hide? Where would you go to hide from the presence of the Almighty? You go up, He's there. Down, He's there. To the left, to the right, He's there. There is no place that you can go to escape His gaze. He sees it all. All your crimes against God. when you know something is wrong and you do it. And of course, to do so, you've got to harden yourself. You know something's wrong, you know, you start out in the course, you know, and the evil course, maybe it's immorality, maybe it's theft, you know, maybe it's violence, whatever it might be. You know, the first time your conscience bothers you, and then the second time it still bothers you a little bit, but then after that you see your conscience is seared, you no longer feel the pangs of your conscience anymore, and you just abandon yourself to the evil. You're given over by God to a reprobate mind to do the things that you ought not to do, to do things that are unseemly, obscene, wicked, disgusting. When it's against the express letter of God's law, friends, it's worse, you know, it's worse. Better you didn't know, you know, but there you go. And against them, you know, the law of God, you know, things that you conceive in your heart, you know, thoughts of wickedness, of evil. I mean, isn't that where it begins? God talks about, you know, preserving, keeping the heart, because, you know, it's the wellspring of life. You know, it's where, it's in the thoughts, it's in the, that's why God says, you know, elsewhere in the Bible, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, because it's in the thinking. It's your thinking, it's your mind, it's what you conceive in your mind, in your heart, that determines your practice, your pattern of living, the way that you live. So you see, you begin to conceive evil thoughts, lustful, wicked, unclean, murderous thoughts. You see, uncleanness, impurity, adultery, you know, isn't just the outward act. It's the heart you lusted after the opposite sex. Jesus said you've already committed adultery in your heart. And all thoughts of sodomy, fornication, and then of course, you know, murder. Oh, you say, I've never murdered anyone. Well, you're the only one on the planet Earth that hasn't murdered somebody, because anger against your neighbor, rage against your neighbor, that's murder of the heart, Jesus says. So don't you see, friends, you can feel in your heart sin, wickedness, it's heinous in the eyes of God, and God will bring you to judgment. And then again, when it's against the light of nature, some things, you know, are just plain simple, it's natural. And there are some things that are against nature, such as already mentioned sodomy. That's unnatural, it's against nature and against the law of God, against the gospel too. And all this and more, friends, all this and more. It's the reason why you need my gospel. It's why you need my Jesus. It's why you need to be saved. It's why you need to be born again. It's why you need to be made a new creature in Jesus Christ. You see, except a man be born again, he cannot see, perceive, understand the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. So in the question for you this afternoon, whatever or whoever you are, have you been born again? Has God come to you? You know, has God poured his life into your soul, his love into his heart? Because, well, that's the new birth, you see. We don't know how. It's a miracle from God. It's the miracle of all miracles. How that God comes and changes the nature of a man, woman, or child, and makes them a new creature. So, makes them like himself, you know. Pours his life into them, into their souls, and his love into their hearts, shed abroad by the Holy Spirit. You see, friends, unless you've been born again, well, you might be religious. You might be religious, but that's just of the flesh. That's not the new birth. You got to be born again, Jesus says so. One good bishop, he once said, unless you're born again, the day will come when you're wished you'd never been born at all. Friends, a woman must be born again. That's a starting place. And from there it develops, you see, to repentance, a turning from sin, a turning from wickedness. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Repentance. Repentance, friends. That's the start to the new birth that develops. Repentance and then faith, a laying hold of embracing Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in faith, believing. That's the command, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, that is, shall be saved. Faith in Jesus Christ, a man in the Bible, a jailer, nasty, hard, embittered man. He cried out in fear on one occasion. He said, what must I do to be saved? And the answer was given to him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. You see people in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, read for yourself and see men and women who come to Jesus with all kinds of problems, difficulties, evils. And the answer given is the same every time. Only believe, trust in God. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Faith that saves, and faith alone apart from works. Apart from any works of yours or mine, man is justified, God says, and makes it crystal clear that no flesh will ever be justified in his sight by the works of the law, by the works of their own hands, by good works, works of charity, works of religion. No flesh will be justified in my sight, he says. Faith. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any works. None whatsoever. Nothing you can offer to God. Here you are, sinner by nature. We and our children conceived and born in sin, and therefore children of wrath. That's the whole human race. That's the whole human race. And that does not change from beginning to end. That does not change until a man, a woman, a child has been born again. Only that changes it. Changes the state and condition, the nature of the sinner. So friends, you gotta be born again. Only God can do that. So you gotta cry out to him for mercy. You gotta get on your knees and call upon his name while he is near. You gotta get hold of the Bible and see that you know what God says. What he requires of you. It's not rocket science. It's all here in the Bible. It's all here in the Word of God. It's the only place you find the Word of God. Nowhere else. It's God's testimony. It's God's record. You deny it. You say it's not. You call God a liar. It's the record. It's the testimony of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. How he sent him into the world, his only begotten Son, to die on a cross, to rise again from the dead, in order that you might be saved. But Jesus, take away your sins before your sins take you away to a place you don't want to go, hell even. Our friends, it's here in the Gospel. The saving business. He alone, friend, died for sinners and rose again from the dead and rose triumphantly from the grave and is alive, alive forevermore. The all-conquering Jesus, him that you need, not a dead religion, not a dead prophet, it's the living Savior, Jesus that you need, alive from the dead and alive forever, and able to save to the uttermost all those who come to God, the most heinous of sinners, with their heinous crimes against the Almighty, who come to him, who come to Jesus, come to God through him, because you can come no other way. He is able to save to the uttermost of your crimes, the uttermost of your guilt, the uttermost of your shame, the uttermost of your darkness. He is able to save to the uttermost all who come to God through him. So come today. Turn from your sin. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn from the evil of your heart. Turn from your sin nature. Turn from your sin practice. Turn from your heinous deeds and turn to Jesus while you may. While you still got the breath of life in you. Call upon him today. And it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from sin's penalty and its power. Salvation, friends, is what the gospel's about, not religion. It's about a person, it's about Christ. It's about what he did, he died. It's about who he did it for. He did it for the ungodly, so that they might be made godly. Call upon the Lord. Call upon his name today, friends. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. You like a copy of God's word? Check these things out for yourself and see. It's the New Testament in its entirety, offered to you freely, without cost or obligation to you. You are Father taking the word of God written. Check it out. See that it is so, as I have told you. Word of God, able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You like a copy of God's word? Read for yourself the words of Jesus. Repent ye and believe the gospel, he says. Do you nothing and today? Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. That's why. You'd like a copy of God's word, you come and ask for one. God bless you.